Praise the Lord, beloved. It's good to be here on another
Praise the Lord, beloved. It's
Sunday
good to
morning. We thank the Lord
be
for the
here on another.
opportunity to
Praise the
just
Lord,
come and
beloved. It's a good
share
morning.
the word with you
It's
today.
good to
Lord,
be
for the
here on another.
opportunity.
Praise the Lord, and share the
It just wouldn't be right if we could start this on a time and not have
It
any
just wouldn't be right if we could start this on
and not
a
have any
time and
tenet
not
of
have
death
any. It
with you.
just wouldn't be right if we could.
But let's see what happens. Okay. Praise the Lord. Y'all bear with me for
Praise
my
the Lord.
inexperience in this, but we're getting it. We're getting it.
Y'all bear with me for my
Praise the Lord.
inexperience in this, but we're getting it. We're getting it. Y'all bear with me for my Praise the Lord inexperience in this, but we're getting it.
Yeah, we're
We're
going to
getting
get
it.
this together. All right, praise the Lord. We're going forward.
Praise the Lord. We're going forward.
Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We praise you. We glorify you, Lord, for allowing us to come
Let's have a
together
moment of prayer.
once
Heavenly Father,
again, one more time, Lord, just
we
to
glorify you.
share a word, Father, the
Once
word that you have given us to
again,
give to your
one more
people.
time,
I
Lord,
pray, Lord, that you allow me to
share a
do
word,
this
Father,
free of my vanity, my pride,
I pray,
my
Lord, that
ego,
you allow me
Lord, but just to say that which you would have
free
to
of
be
my
said to your people.
vanity,
And I pray, Lord, as always, that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that you be glorified.
And I pray, Lord,
For
as
this I
always,
do
that some
pray in
soul will
Jesus'
be
name
edified,
and for his sake.
sanctified, and
Amen.
that you be glorified. And I pray, Lord, for this I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. This I do pray in Jesus' name.
Okay. Now, just to go forward,
Okay.
I would ask that you would share
Now, just
with
to
me in the
go forward,
scriptures
I would
from
ask
the
that you would
book of Luke, the Gospel according to Saint Luke, the 15th chapter. If you would open your Bibles, I'll give you time to do so if you need time to get to your Bible. Amen. 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 The Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Even though we're going to be looking through the first through the 32nd verses through the chapter, I'm going to just read a portion of his words starting at the 20 at the 23rd to 22nd verse. Amen. The Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter, starting at the 22nd verse. Let us hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, You're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. We have read from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter, the 23rd through the 32nd verses. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Beloved, I just want to share a little bit with you today. We see Jesus here teaching. This is a very, very popular parable amongst a lot of the brethren. But we see Jesus teaching in parables as he often does. You know, parables are merely stories that the Lord used because it would make it a lot easier for him to relate to people. I mean, if he was talking to farmers, he would give them stories related to farming, you know, things that would happen with farming. If he was talking to fishermen, it would be stories related, you know, about fish and shepherds and cattlemen and so forth and so on, that would make it easy to get the point across. You know, I have to share this with you. I'm reminded of a story. I've shared this in the past of some missionaries that were somewhere abroad teaching somewhere in some other country, and the minister was preaching about, you know, how Jesus could wash away our sins, and he was at the climax of his message, get ready to say yes, and just as sure as your sins were white as, and he paused for a hot second, and he said, "White as a stork's egg." The Lord would make it, they would just make him just like that, white as a stork's egg. Instead of saying red as blood or red as crimson, he used white as a stork's egg. And a couple of other people that were with him said, "Wait a minute, we know that the word says white as snow, you know." But he said to them, he said, "Yes, but these people have never seen snow. As soon as I said snow, they would have been, they, that would have, I would have lost them. They would not have any understanding of what I was talking about." So the point I'm getting across here to y'all, I'm sure y'all caught that, is sometimes even though we have to exchange different words for, because they have different meanings, it depends on who we're talking to. You know, and I understand completely about that. I've been in a situation where I've met some people who've never seen snow. And actually, when we were at, snow came down and they had no idea what it was. So yes, I do understand that. But anyhow, Jesus was teaching in parables as he often did. And even though the writers of this particular, as they say, parables, divided them into three parts. Now, I think this parable is a unique parable because I believe it is one parable broken into four parts. I was just sharing this with another minister friend of mine yesterday. He pointed that out, and I had to agree with him. Now, this doesn't mean I'm taking anything away from the scriptures. I'm not adding anything or subtracting anything from the scriptures. We know that the word of God is God-breathed. It came from the very breath of God. We know that. But it was men who divided this word into the various verses and chapters. So I'm saying, even though you'll find, and you'll find probably in your Bibles, that this parable is divided into three parts, I think it should be four. But I'll let you decide that after we finish. You know, contact me, call me, write me, whatever, and let me know what you think. So let's go a little bit forward. Today, in this parable that the Lord is giving, before I go any further, let me give this a subject for today. Our subject for today is very simple, and it is, you forgot something. You forgot something. That is our subject for today. And you're saying to yourself, "Well, wait a minute, I don't understand." Stay with me. You know how we normally do. Just stay with me. Let's see if we can make this plain. Now, we know that in the beginning of this parable, the writer is telling us that the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, or in the King James, they called them scribes, they were saying among themselves, muttering, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now they want to make a big deal about that because Jesus, okay, yes, y'all sinners, y'all come on in. Today, how many of us, we consider ourselves to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ? And how often do you invite those that that are out here stealing, robbing, maybe they're abusers or whatever kind of degradation to society we may have put upon them? But do you ask them, "Yeah, y'all come to our church, come, we're ministering here, come"? And then if they turn around and do come, and then invite you maybe to come out and have a meal with us, because everybody's not destitute, they may say, "Yes, I enjoyed the message this morning, Reverend minister. Can you let us buy you lunch? Come and join us for lunch." How many of you say, "Oh no, I can't be hanging out with them. My reputation will be tarnished up." People say, "Oh man, he was out there with these women. I know that they're prostitutes. Them guys, I know that they drug addicts, alcoholics. But he was out there. I saw him at the diner having dinner with them." And no, Jesus didn't have a problem. "Yeah, I'll come dine with y'all. Sure." But these Pharisees, or today we might say these religious folks, they had something to say about that. Maybe they were board members, the trustee board, the deacon board. I don't know. I don't want to put that, because I know that doesn't happen at your church. Those of you who are listening, I know it doesn't happen to you. So anyhow, they're making a big deal about this. It's bad enough he invited them to come here and come to hear the word, but now he wants to go out and eat with them and all. I don't understand this guy. And that's how things get out. Anyhow, as Jesus was there with them, he began to say some things to them. He said, "Listen, suppose one of you guys have 100 sheep, okay, and you lose one of them. Won't you leave your 99 and go find that one?" Y'all know this story. I'm going by this part very quickly, but I want to get to this part here where he, after he tells the story of the man who left the 99 to go look for that one, he finds him. He found it. And this is what he said to them, to the friends and the neighbors, some of those who were helping him look. He said, "I want you to rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep." He's rejoicing. Now, some people might say, "Well, wait, why don't he's all that happy about that one? He got a whole 99 here, and he left them to go find the one. But yet he seems like he's more happy over the one that he found than the 99 that he already had." That don't make sense to me. But look at what the Lord says. He says, "I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be more rejoicing. There's more rejoicing in heaven when one soul, one lost soul, one person who you've been out here witnessing to, you've been testifying to, you've been sharing the word of God with, you've been doing all this. And when they finally come in, I want you to know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. They don't go around," he said, "well, they don't go around rejoicing like that every day. We got a whole bunch of believers already. How come they're not rejoicing every day about the ones we got?" Some of us miss this point, and I'm not going to give you that point yet. Y'all stay with me. Just keep that thought in mind. It's going to become clear. This is what Jesus said to them. Okay? So I can see them scratching their head, looking around at each other, wondering what this is all about. Okay? Other thing I want to point out here that Jesus was showing them. Jesus showed us that the man did not hesitate to leave the many to go after the one. Now, this was not negligence or dereliction of duty on this man's part. No, it wasn't. Jesus already commanded us to love one another. Now, keep this in mind. The shepherd was not going that far away, for one thing. Number two, if there was something terrible happened, I mean, if it was a whole pack of wolves and stuff that came in the sheep. Sheep don't do nothing but go around bleating bad and all that. But the shepherd would have heard that. Okay, number one. But also understand this. Okay, even the world has a saying, you know, that a lot of us have grown up hearing that there's safety in numbers. The shepherds, he said, listen, y'all stay together. Y'all love one another. Y'all can look out for one another. Y'all can have each other's back. I'm going to spend a little time looking, okay, for little Joey, little John, little Jerry, whatever his name was. I'm going to go look for him. He's out there. Can't be that far away. I'm going to go look for him. Y'all stay together. Look out for one another. I will be back. Okay. So the Lord is not worried about that. We all out here, we should be watching one another's back, loving one another. Okay. Don't y'all remember this is one of the reasons why the Lord added such as was needed to the church daily. The people were anxious to come. They were willing to come. They saw how the brethren were treating one another, how the brethren were looking out for one another. Nobody was going hungry while this one is living fine off the fat of the land. While this one is contented, there's not another one over there who's starving. No, we looked out for one another. Okay? That's what the believers were saying. They were looking out for one another. If I had a plate of food and your plate was empty, you can eat half of my plate. We're both going to eat. Okay? That's the way it worked. But think about it this way also. If this one person has an empty plate and you got 5 people there, 6 people, 10 people there, imagine if each person just gave a portion off of their plate. You're not going to miss it. But by the time each one of them gave that one a portion, now their plate is full. So when we, you know, there's something about numbers, okay? There's something about numbers, okay? Numbers of us together can cause a whole lot of things. Somebody, you know, I've heard and read it somewhere where if one could chase 1,000 and two could put 10,000 to a flight, what in the world do you think would happen with just a handful of us? Some of y'all have said that don't make a lot of sense. Didn't Jesus just start out with 12? Look how many believers there are out here now. And he just started with 12. Just think about these things. I just threw that out there for free. No charge for that. Okay, so Jesus said, yes, there's a lot to be said about numbers. You know, if one wolf come up there to one of y'all, he ain't worried about y'all. But when there's a bunch of y'all, 20, 30, 40 of y'all standing right there together, he's going to think twice. Matter of fact, he's going to run. Because you say one of y'all can't beat a wolf, but 20, 30 of y'all jump on him, he can't beat you. So yes, there's something about numbers. Y'all look out for one another. The same thing is out here in the world today for us who are believers. We should be looking and looking out for one another. Yeah, we got brethren who seem to have strayed away. While the shepherd is looking for that one, some of you might have known even where they strayed to. You know, y'all know out here in the world, you know what I'm talking about. There's somebody out here that knows where the other person who's out there straying away, where they went wrong or where they plan on going, what they plan on doing. Instead of us all the time looking at these brethren who seemingly or seem to or may have definitely gone astray, how many of us are praying for them? They were once part of your fold. They were once part of your household. We broke bread together. And now that they've gone astray, they've gone abroad, you leave them alone, you're done with them. Sometimes, instead of praying about somebody, we need to take time and pray for them. Well, y'all don't want to hear that. Let me move on. Okay. So that's one thing I want to point out. Okay. No, that shepherd didn't just arbitrarily decide to just leave them and go looking. He was well aware that they could manage for a little while. They're all together. They stay together, and everything will be okay. Now, Jesus also began to tell them about this woman. This woman had 10 silver coins, okay, and she lost one. And oh my gosh, she looked everywhere for it. Okay, it must have been getting down to the evening time. The sun was going down, because she lit her lamp. And she began to sweep and look under everything for this coin that she must have dropped and it rolled somewhere. So I could just see her getting a little broom and sweeping under everything, moving stuff around, looking everywhere in the house for this coin. And then the worst is when she finds it, oh, she calls all of her friends and neighbors together and says, again, you see these same, rejoice with me. I found my lost coin. Okay? And again, Jesus said, there's going to be much rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over, again, over that one sinner that repents. Now, some of you are saying, well, I don't see where the neighbor would make a big thing. I mean, she lost the coin, she found it. I'm glad for her, but why is everybody going to rejoice over this? What is the deep meaning behind her losing this coin? And, let me just share this one thing that we do know about that. You see, when a woman became of age, when she's at I'm talking about it, ready to become married, ready to be betrothed to someone, okay, she has to build up also a dowry. And she needed a certain amount in this dowry. And that way, and of course, along with that, other things went along, how she would dress and everything, and people would know that, oh, she's ready. She's at that age now. She's ready, she's married age. She's available. Some of the young men say, oh, I've had my eye on her here, but I had to wait until the right time, and now she's ready. So hey, she's got her dowry together. He knew that. For her to be ready, there's certain things that had to be in place. And by her losing that one coin, that took away from the amount she's needed to complete her dowry. So that's why it was so important. That's why the other women who were around knew the importance of it. Those who were preparing their own dowry knew that this was important to her. Those who were already married or those who had already completed what they needed for their dowry, they knew that this was very important to her. It wasn't about the amount of money, just to have money saved up. This is why it was so important. And when she found it, that's why they were willing to rejoice and celebrate with her. Because, see, yes, you got it. She wasn't worried about the nine that she had. It wasn't about, well, I already got nine. I ain't gonna worry about the one. No, I needed them all. Think about it this way. Some of us have children. I don't care if you have two children or two dozen children. None of us have any children that we can afford to lose. None of us. None of us say, well, I got five kids. If I lost one, I'll still be all right. You don't feel that way. Okay, some things that you love so much is something that means so much to you, you don't want to lose it. And this meant a whole lot to this woman. Like I said, it wasn't about because she wanted money to have money saved up, to buy material stuff. No, she needed this because she was at the age she was about ready to look to have her a husband. And she certain things she needed to have. Okay, so yes, it was time to celebrate, time to rejoice. Okay, those other ones that she did not lose, I'm sure at that moment she made sure she put them up safely where they wouldn't go anywhere, kept them safe while she looked for the one that was missing. Okay, so yes, we understand that now. You said, I got that. Then Jesus said, let me make this a little bit clearer to you. There was a man who had two sons. There's a man who had two sons. And they was getting up to be some size. The youngest of the two, he's at that point, I guess he, like a lot of folks used to say, he's ready to sow his wild oats, so to speak. And he come up to his father and say, listen, Dad, I want you to give me the money that's due to me, my share of the estate. Some of it would be money, some of it might be if the father owned properties or things like that. It had to be divided amongst his children. He had two sons, so young son said, "I want mine now. I want mine now. I'm ready to move out. I'm ready to go out on my own. I'm ready to leave your house and go out and do my thing. I'm ready to go out into the world. And I want my inheritance." You don't see anywhere where the father argued with him. Some of us who are fathers might be saying, "Well, I would have at least tried to dissuade him." We don't see any record of that. Maybe that happened, maybe it didn't. But we also understand that, your children, like all of us did at one time, you think you're grown, as they used to say. You're ready to do your thing. You're ready to go out on your own. I can handle the world. I want to go out and explore the world. I want to go out and experience the world, and I'm ready to do that. And I'm sure that, as some of us are saying and thinking already to ourselves, the father realized, okay, he's at that point now. He thinks he knows. He's ready to do this and ready to go out. So I don't want to argue with him. I don't want to deny him, because if I deny him, it may cause him to go to steal something, look around and see what he can take so he can still go. He got it in his mind. He's made up that he wants to go out there and experience the world for himself. So I'm going to give him that which I was going to give him, or put in my will for him. I'm going to give it to him. And he wants to go, I'm going to let him go. And that's what the father did. And I'm sure, like any father, this weighed heavy on him. And we see a picture of him coming out. That he was a man of some mean, because he had servants and all. Maybe he's going out on his veranda out there on the patio every day, going out looking and see if his son is coming. Maybe every now and then he'd take a walk down to the water, to the dock maybe, and look out there wondering if his son is okay or whatever. And this went on for a while. It didn't tell us how long it was. We know that hard times fell on parts of the land. There was a famine in the land, and I'm sure that made the father wonder even more how his son was doing. But he just, went on out every day, looking out maybe into the field, out into the horizons, looking to see if his son is okay. And one particular day, as he was looking out, he sees a person. He sees a person walking. Now, he didn't realize that his son had been out there and then squandered everything away and got to the point where he's even out there working for a guy feeding swine. Of all the things for a Jew boy to do, have to get out there and feed swine. But how many of you know that things get so tough, you'll do some things you never thought you would do before? Y'all can say amen. Everybody, I know some of y'all got closets full and cupboards and cabinets full of food and all that, but some of us also know that it wasn't always that way. Some of you may know what it's like to have a belly that's so empty, you can hear it out loud growling because it's empty and all that. Some of us know those times. And for some of us, it may not have even been that long ago. And there might even be someone who knows that time right now. But nevertheless, that's where this boy had gotten to, this young man had gotten to. And he realized when he finally came to himself after feeding these swine all the time, so tempted to even eat some of that stuff himself. He said, "No." That's when he came to his senses. He said, "No, my father's servants would do better than this. They live better than I'm living right now. I've done wrong. I left wrong and I've done wrong. I've sinned before God and even before my father. But I'm gonna go back to Dad. And I'm not going back arrogant. I'm not going back like he owes me anything. I'm going back and apologize and ask him if he'll just take me in and treat me like one of the servants. Make me like one of them. That's all I'm asking. And I'll be satisfied. So meanwhile, we see the father not there looking. And I don't know about you. Okay, I don't know about you, but the Lord has blessed me with three sons. And if I can see them enough to see them walk, they don't have to be close enough for me to see their face. I know their walk. I'll know which one of my sons that would be if I saw them walking. And I'm sure this father's the same way. For the word says, while he was yet afar off, his father saw him. Didn't wait for him to make his way all the way back to him. He saw him and ran out. Ran out to meet his son. Unbeknownst to him, his son had been rehearsing his little spiel he would give his father the whole time. You know, Lord, Father, I've sinned before you. I'm not worthy no more to be your son. He's going on with this spiel. And when he saw his father, he started saying his father had none of it. He right away, his father grabbed him, hugged him, kissed his neck. Glad to see him. That's his son. He was so overjoyed, not just to see him, but to know that he's all right. He can see him, that he's walking. So he has a degree of health, and he had no limbs missing. Oh, he looked unkempt. The fine robes and all he wore when he left, he didn't have that anymore. Probably somewhere along the line, he had to sell some of his stuff when he ran out of money. You know, the fine sandals he had on his feet, he didn't have that anymore. You know, the ring with the family crest and all on that, he wasn't wearing that, probably had to pawn that off somewhere along the line. But when he saw him, tears go down, he's grabbing his son, and right away he told all his servants, y'all rejoice with me, I want y'all to go and fetch him his robe, and he should have told his son he needed a bath. I'm sure somewhere along the line he must have said that. I know the boy wasn't the best smelling boy and the best looking boy, but he probably told him, let him get cleaned up. Meanwhile, y'all find a fatty calf. Get it prepared. We're going to feast tonight. We're going to celebrate. My son, who was lost, is now found. My son, who was dead, is yet alive. It's time to celebrate. And everybody's, yes, they're rejoicing. You know, it's going to be a good time in the estate tonight. It's going to be a high time, and everybody's celebrating. And yeah, he's back. And they knew him, and probably watched, some of them had watched him grow up, and they're just glad to see him and all that. Meanwhile, with all the celebrating going on, all the rejoicing with the servants and maybe some friends and buddies or whoever had been around, he forgot something. He forgot something. You're saying to yourself, he forgot something. The scriptures tell us at the 28th verse, the older brother became angry. Now, watch this. I'm going to tell you why he became angry, because with all that rejoicing, all of the service, just making a hard time of everything, he asked, what's going on? And they told him, your brother has returned. And your father's preparing a celebration. We're preparing the fatty calf, and it's going to be a hard time in the place tonight because your brother has returned. Well, the son, again it says, he became angry. And he refused to go in. As they were preparing everything for this feast, he said, I ain't going. I ain't going. So his father went and found him. His father went to him, pleaded with him. But he said to his father, look, all all these years. Now that's giving you an idea right there and then that it's been a while. This didn't happen over a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months. He said, all these years, I've been slaving for you. I've been doing all the work out here in the field, in the heat of the sun, and in the cold days. I've been out here tending to everything that had to be done, tending to the crops, tending to the cattle, tending to whatever has to be done. I've been doing this. Everything you told me to do, I've done. What you told me not to do, I didn't do. Some of the things that I know that you wanted done, I've done them as well. I've never disobeyed you, okay? But in all this time, you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. You never gave us a party. Never done that for me. But this son, this one who's gone out, squandered everything that you gave him. Property that you gave him, he sold that. Money that you gave him, he spent that. Clothes and the jewelry that he had, all of that's gone. But yet, when he shows up, you have a party and everything planned for him. This is what got the son upset. This is why some people believe that, wait a minute, maybe this parable should have been brought into four parts. Because you have a son here that even though he is there at the house with his father, they just realized that this whole while he's been kind of on his own. Maybe. He didn't miss his brother. No word is nothing said about that. They were brothers. We see no record where they were going at each other, warring against each other. No record of that. But they were brothers. Or should I say they? Yes, they are brothers. And even though the brother went out and did what he did, it's still his brother. See, somebody don't understand. And some of y'all do understand that you and your sibling, whether it be your brother, your sister, whoever it is you grew up with, some of us even grew up with our cousins and all, y'all might get angry at each other. Y'all might say some harsh and tough words to each other. Y'all might even fight each other. But at the end of the day, that's still your brother. That's still your sister. That's still somebody you love. Okay, you could have said those things to them. You could have fought with them, but you surely didn't allow nobody else to do so. That's my brother. That's my sister. If we fight, we fight. If we call each other names, we call each other names. But at the end of the day, that's still my sister, still my brother. Oh, I'm upset over what you did, but you're still my sister, still my brother. I don't like how you left the house. But you're still my brother. And when the son was so upset that he did not even want to come and celebrate the return of his brother, the father was concerned. So concerned that he said to his son, he said, son, you're always with me. I know that. You're always here. Okay? You stayed here under the protection of me. You stayed here in the home that you were raised up in. Again, you stayed under my protection. You stayed here and saw to whatever it was I needed. You took care of that. Anything I desired to have done concerning our home, our estate, you took care of that. All of this you've done, you've been with me every step of the way. And I want you to understand something. I forgot in all of this celebrating, I should have sent for you to let you know that your brother was here. before I planned the celebration, before, I had them kill the fatted calf. I should have said, you get the calf, y'all get the calf prepared. Y'all go out there and find my oldest son. Bring him here so that he can come with me and rejoice about the return of his brother. You see, beloved, I want to say this to you. Notice what the father said to him. This brother of yours, he didn't just say my son now. He said, I want you to understand who we're talking about. This brother of yours was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost. Oh, I don't mean just lost because we didn't know where he was. He was lost in his mind. Lost, didn't understand what was going on. Didn't understand how well he had it where he was. Didn't understand that he could have always gone and traveled and come back. He didn't have to go out and take everything he needed, everything that was his inheritance, and go out to enjoy the world. He could have always done that. He was lost, but now he's found. He was dead. Maybe he was dead to you. Maybe you didn't want no more parts of him. Maybe you've gotten used to him not being around. Or maybe you were so angry that he left that you said, I don't care if he come back. You got to the point, I don't care if he come back or not. Because every day, the pain of his absence hurt more and more and more. I know that pain, son. But I never gave up hope. Yes, I know that every day I will go out, spend time looking out yonder, out into the horizon, out into the field, out into the ocean even, hoping that my son will return. I know I do, but I'm sorry. I forgot something. I forgot about you. I forgot that while I was sad over my son going away, you were also sad over your brother being away. But now that he has returned, look at what he said. We had to celebrate and be glad. I should have included you in my preparation for this celebration. I forgot that. And why would the father say he forgot that? Because when he said initially, at the very first thing he told his son, everything I have is yours. No, it's not about me dividing everything I have into three parts, your brother's, yours, and mine. Everything I have is yours. Every servant, every piece of ground, every piece of cattle, every piece of livestock, every crop, every property, everything I have is yours. Now, he didn't say it's ours. He says it's yours. I know you've been here. And maybe I've taken you for granted. Okay, but let us celebrate. Let us celebrate. Come on, son. You don't have to worry about it. As far as me killing the fatted calf for you, no, I couldn't. No, I didn't do that. Did I plan a party for you? No, I didn't. But I want you to understand something. Anytime you wanted this, it was yours. You could have had one anytime you wanted. And maybe, like some of us do, I don't know about y'all, some of us take our loved ones for granted. We take our loved ones for granted. We forget to tell them that we love them. We forget to say thank you sometimes. We forget to say please sometimes. We forget to include them in a lot of the decisions that we make. We forget to do that because we get so wrapped up in our thoughts and what it is that's on our mind. This father forgot something. It didn't make him a bad father. But he forgot something. He forgot something. But when it came to his realization, look at what he did about it. Come on, son. No, this is not ours. This is yours. Everything I have, yes, I may own it, but it's yours. I'm not talking about when I leave here, it's going to be yours. It's yours. You speak just like I speak when it comes to this, to everything that I own. If you say, yeah, we ought to, I think we should sell that property, it's sold. I think we should plant this crop over there, it's planted. I think we should get more sheep than we got more. Everything that I have is yours. All the money, whatever I got, it's yours. Come on, let's go celebrate your brother. You don't have to feel threatened that, oh man, now he's gonna just pick up where he left off. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. Let's rejoice together. Let's celebrate together. My son, your brother, has returned. Beloved, I'm gonna say this here and I'm finished. I'm finished. Sometimes we forget what is right there in front of us that we're aware of. We forget. We forget that, yes, that obedient son, the one that you don't have to keep after, that son who seems to be smart enough, you don't have to keep getting on them about doing their homework. That child that seems to be okay when it comes to cleaning up their room and doing their chores, you don't have to keep reminding them. It's good every now and then to say, you're doing all right, son. Good job. You're doing all right, baby. Keep on doing what you're doing. We need to let our daughters, our children, know that, yes, we're grateful to them sometime. We're thankful to them sometime. We're glad that they're around sometimes. We need to let them know that. They need to hear that. We feel that way. We need to share it with them sometime. Because sometimes they feel as though, hey, I'm invisible. I'm out here doing all this all the time, and I don't get any recognition. There are shows that come to town. I wanted to go, but I know that dad would be here by himself, mom would be here by herself. You know, I know that they would be worried about me, so I just let it go. They need to meet, you know, so, hey, I know that you like this particular artist. I know that you like this particular singer, this group. You don't want to go see them. They're in town now. You don't want to go see them. The simple fact that you let them know that, wow, I didn't know mom, dad knew that I liked them like that. And now they ask me, do I even want to go? That would shock them by itself. You need to do that sometime. We need to do that sometime. We forget. We forget that our children need a little ego boost, or they need to be congratulated sometime. They need to know that we're grateful to them sometime. They need to know that we're proud of them. And we need to do those things and let them know that. This was a unique parable that the Lord shared with the people. Many lessons to be drawn from this parable. It's one of my favorite ones. You know, times have gone by when we've talked, where the Lord's allowed me to talk about it strictly from the Father's point of view, or from either son's point of view. And in this case, we thank the Lord for letting us touch on all three of them for a moment. Focusing on what's happening, interacting between the oldest son and the father. And I hope and pray that it points out that, yes, we do forget some things sometimes. The father pointed out, listen, like I said, a lot of things. Yes, your brother left. He left the comfort of his home. He left the protection of his home. He left the company of his family. He left from the loving affection that he was getting from his family. And he came back. But he came back. He was cast upon the water. But after many days, he did return. He did that. He did that. Father, let us realize that. Jesus, let us realize that in the story that it didn't matter how he left home. Didn't matter when he left, didn't matter where he went. Didn't matter what he did where he went. But when he returned, that's the time to celebrate. That's the time to celebrate. Jesus is the same way with us. The Lord is the same way. It doesn't matter what you've been doing all this time. It doesn't matter that, yes, when you were younger, you were brought up maybe in the church. But when you got up some size, got a chance to get out on your own, you forgot all of that. Left church. You left the protection of being with the saints of God. You left being with the number of the saints. Like the sheep, you left the majority. You were like the coin. You went out there, you were by yourself. You were lost. We didn't know where you were. And you went out there on your own like the prodigal son. But when you were found, the thing that Jesus wanted them to understand, doesn't matter whether you're talking about a person, whether you're talking about something that you love, when you find it, at that point, you don't care how it got lost, who took it, what happened, you found it, and it's time to rejoice. Some of you right now are saying, I feel like I'm lost. I feel like I'm out here. I feel like I'm caught up like the prodigal son. I'm doing stuff that I had no business doing. I'm in a place where I had no business being. I got what I wanted, but I lost what I had. And if I could just go back, things would be a whole lot better. Some of us have said, well, what I had wasn't all that great, but if I could just go to a place where someone will show me love, where someone will rejoice because I'm there, where someone will be ready to celebrate with me because of me, I would feel so much better. I'm here to let you know that Jesus is saying that to you right now. If you have not accepted him as your Savior, if you find that you are not part of the Lord's family, I want you to know that if you accept the Lord this very moment, the angels in heaven will rejoice over one who has come to the fold, over one who has become part of the family. Because that is what Jesus died, suffered, resurrected for, and ascended to glory for you, so that you would have the chance to become part of his family, so that you would have a chance to be able to come home, that you would have the chance to be able to spend your eternity in a place where everybody will love you and will be there to celebrate with you throughout eternity. Why don't you accept the Lord as your Savior right now? Doesn't matter what folks say. Doesn't matter what folks think. That the Father showed us this. Don't matter how you live. Don't matter what you think you want to do now that you're here. We're going to put you where you belong. You're my son. You're going to look like my son. You're going to be treated like my son. Come on home. The Lord is saying that to you right now. I don't care where you've been. Don't care where you are. I know where you can go. And you can go to glory with me. Come on home. Come on back home. I'll clean you up. Don't worry about trying to get yourself together. No, I'll get you together. You just come on. You just come on. And as I see you making your way to me, doing all that you know to get to me, you coming with your repentant heart. Sorry for what you have done, but where you are, I'll see you and I'll meet you. I'll run out to meet you just like the Father ran out to meet his son. I'll meet you. I'll embrace you. I'll kiss your neck. I'll show you the love. That's what the Lord is saying to you right now. Make this personal. Make it personal. Some of us has left from where we should be, and some of us want to get to where we should be. No matter what, the Lord will meet you. For some of us who have gone out on the road like the prodigal son, have done our thing, left the comfort of home, left the protection of home. Welcome home, the Lord said. Come on back home. For some of us who've never had it, for some of us who never knew what it was like or didn't realize what we had, the Lord said, yes, become part of the family right now. Come on. Now's your time. I don't have to be there in your presence. Know that the Lord is right there with you, tugging at your heartstrings. You say, well, where I am right now, I don't know if I can say all of this loud. You don't have to say it loud. You're not talking to me. You're not talking to those around you. You're talking to God. You say, the only place I can even have any privacy in here is when I go to the bathroom and then go in there. Talk to the Lord. It don't take all day. Tell him that, Lord, I heard you when you say you must be born again. I want to be born again. And I know that you're the only one that can do this. I can't start my whole life all over again, but you can make me a new creation in you. Do that for me, Lord. I need that. And I'm here to let you know that the Lord will do that for you. God bless you. God bless you. Sometimes we forget something. The Lord brings it back. Brings it back to our remembrance. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. You forgot something.